Each Monday, WILL brings you legal issues in the news with commentary from a faculty member of the University of Illinois College of Law.
Why is a justice of the Supreme Court talking about Kim Kardashian? And what does the theft of her jewelry have to do with bank fraud? For answers, we need to look to Shaw versus United States, a case pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. This litigation started with a scheme to steal money from the U.S. bank account of a Taiwanese businessman. The businessman had worked in the U.S. for a while. During that time, he opened a U.S. bank account. When he moved back to Taiwan, he asked the daughter of an employee to forward his mail. Bank statements were included in that mail, and Lawrence Shaw, who lived with the employee's daughter, took advantage of this access. Shaw transferred money from the businessman's account to Shaw's PayPal account. When PayPal inquired, Shaw used the bank statements and other documents, some forged, to convince PayPal that the transfer was legit. All in all, Shaw stole about $300,000. The scheme did not end well. In a criminal trial, a jury convicted Shaw of 14 counts of bank fraud. Shaw challenged his conviction. His defense, this isn't bank fraud because I didn't steal anything from the bank. And in fact, the bank didn't pay. Only PayPal and the businessman lost money from the theft. The businessman did not catch the withdrawal and notify the bank within 60 days. Under standard banking practice, the bank doesn't pay for older losses, so the account holder was on the hook. And PayPal had to reimburse the bank for more recent losses. Does this count as bank fraud? To answer that, the court has to look at the statute. Shaw was criminally convicted under a provision that requires intent to defraud a financial institution. Did the government have to prove that he intended to harm the bank itself? This is where Kim Kardashian comes in. Pointing to a recent theft of Kardashian's jewelry, one of the Supreme Court justices asked, "What if someone robs jewelry or poses as a jewelry cleaner and tricks the celebrity? Wouldn't you think that was fraud? Even if he thinks she's insured or is borrowing the jewelry from a good friend, isn't the celebrity defrauded, even if the thief knows that the celebrity won't lose any money when the jewels are gone?" In some ways, the issue in this case is small. Even in the same bank fraud statute, other provisions cover this type of theft. So in some way, the problem here is that the prosecutors brought the wrong charge. Nonetheless, the case is a reminder of a few things. First, the details matter, especially when someone could go to jail. Even if he could have been charged for something else, the court is understandably picky about the charge that was brought. The second point has to do with how juries work. We don't expect juries to be legal experts. Instead, the court gives them jury instructions. These are written descriptions of the law that the jury has to apply. In the case against Shaw, the Supreme Court will check exactly what the jury was told. Like the wrong charge, the wrong jury instruction matters when criminal punishment is at stake. Third, how the court interprets statutory language affects how hard it is to prove bank fraud. If the government has to prove that Shaw intended to harm the bank, prosecuting bank fraud becomes more difficult. It seems unlikely that Shaw had any idea of the standard banking practices that would determine who ultimately lost the stolen money, the bank, PayPal, or the account holder. He probably did not really care where the money came from. We will see what the Supreme Court will do. That's the preview of Shaw versus U.S., and I'm Verity Winship.
You can hear Legal Issues in the News each Monday on Morning Edition on WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9, or listen online at will.illinois.edu.